Well, good evening and Christian greetings to each one. I count it a privilege to be here tonight and worship with you all. Thank you, Brother Arlen, for that inspiration and a good introduction to the subject that we're asked to speak on this evening. Cultivating reverence for God in our children. When I looked at that title, and I thought about the word cultivating, I went back about 50 years in my memory. I grew up a farmer's son. He was a crop farmer, my father. And 50 years ago, we'd done quite a bit of cultivating. And so when I was about at the age of, big enough to start running some farm equipment, I got the tedious job, I'm going to call it, of cultivating. It was a job that was rather mundane, something you would just get so tired of. And I thought about that as I thought about parents tonight that are raising families and raising children, and the fact that sometimes it can probably seem that way in the responsibilities that you have. Seems like there's just no end to it. It's just ongoing. You know, the beautiful thing about cultivating was when it was complete, when it was done, when the field was finished, it looked beautiful. The weeds were gone. There was fresh soil and beautiful rows of whatever crop you were raising. And so I'd like to make that application as well tonight. If you continue to do the job that seems rather monotonous at times and a job that just keeps on going on, there is beauty in it. And the end result is for a crop. Now, we're not going to talk about cultivating crops tonight. That's just one thought that came to my mind. In fact, the dictionary definition of cultivating, as we want to think about it this evening, is to foster the growth of. And tonight, that's what we'd like to do. We'd like to look at this subject with the idea that we want to foster the growth of reverence for God in our children. Thank you for the songs that you chose. The song, I believe it was the first one, "Eternal Father, When to Thee." Beyond all worlds, by faith I soar. Before thy boundless majesty, I stand in silence and adore. Reverence. This God that Brother Arlen was talking about, the God that made us, the God that is sovereign and is in control of all things, and we see that majesty, we see God in his glory, we see God in everything that he has done. And we say, oh, that's what we'd like to talk about this evening. That's what we want to instill in our children's hearts. In fact, the last phrase of that song talks about his throne being in the heavens, but his throne is within our breast. Tonight, that's the result we want. We want to raise families. We want to bring children to the place where the throne of God is in their hearts and they stand in majesty and awe and just are there. We cannot provide, I guess I'll say, use that word, we cannot force, I want to say, reverence on our children. It's a little bit, as I thought about that, it's just a little bit like their salvation experience. We cannot bring salvation to our children. God does that. God calls them, and God provides salvation, and God brings them to the place where they want to respond and they want to receive him. Yes, we plant seeds in their lives. We foster that growth to that point. And I guess I feel that reverence is somewhat the same way tonight. I know we wished this evening that we could somehow just put reverence in the hearts of our children. but we can foster it for them. The promises tonight, as we think about that, Jesus himself said, "And I, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to myself." And so not only does he provide salvation, but in the process of that, I think he draws the hearts of all of us to him so that we come to the place where we have reverence for him. There's also another thought as we think about cultivating, this word cultivating. The third definition is that we find in the dictionary is to improve by labor, care, or study. And then it said in parentheses, the refining of the mind. And I thought about that. You know, that is exactly what we want to bring about in our families, in our children. We want them to rise above the carnality that is in them and come to the place where they have a refined mind and they think about the things of God. And of course, this takes that labor, that care, and that study on our part to get there is what it does. Now, reverence, so what is reverence? Well, I described it to you with the song, but reverence is honor, it's respect felt and shown, it's profound adorning, awed respect. In other words, it's just simply a respectful and submissive disposition of the mind, arising from the heart within, the affection of the heart, the esteem of our thought life in our hearts. There's a fear factor in there that God puts into us, that a reverential fear, a fear of God for who he is. And as we combine that, we come to this place of awe and a sense of superiority to the person that's being reverent. In this subject tonight, that is God. The focus is our reverence for God, a reverence that flows from admiration and respect for deity. Now, before I get into the message, you will find me tonight using the word respect quite a bit. I'll probably maybe use that more. We're going to talk more about respect, I think, than just using the word reverence. I believe that we can, like I said, we are here to foster the growth of, and I believe that the way we help our children to find reverence in their hearts is to teach them respect in many, many avenues. Respect for God, respect for a lot of things. And so tonight we're going to, you'll hear me, the words are maybe almost interchangeable, but I guess what I'm saying is that I believe that respect, as we teach our children respect, it finally in their hearts gives way to reverence, is what it does, as they learn principles that they need to learn. Because you see, it's not enough tonight to behave reverently, reverentially. We must feel that in our hearts for God. It must be within us. And that is why it's so important for us to foster the growth of I like the word instill. As we think about instilling something, it's bit by bit. It's kind of like drop by drop. We put it into them and they soak it up and they take it away. And after a while, it penetrates our hearts and they respond to it. I wish I could tell you tonight that our children, we all know that children do not come to us programmed with reverence for God. It's rather the opposite of that. They have this carnal nature, and our responsibility is to try to help them get programmed. So, first of all, I'd like to think, what does the Bible teach about respect and reverence to God? You may open your Bibles with me to Exodus chapter 3. I thought of the account of Moses when Moses was on the backside of the desert taking care of the sheep, and his experience with the burning bush and the call that came to Moses through that experience from God. And I think this is so much of an example of how God works in all of our lives. We are living life because God intends us to live life, and God has a plan for us to live life, and God does controls and puts things in place and takes things out of place in our lives and experience, just like he did in Moses' life, so that we stop and we consider the ways of God and we consider him. I like to just read the first six verses of Exodus chapter 3. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burnt with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him and out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not hither. Put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Several things that we learn here. Like I already said, God gets our attention in the things of life. He orders life at times with surprises for us. As Moses was living life, this was just an ordinary day for Moses. He was out in very familiar territory taking care of the sheep. And he was probably just thinking about whatever he was thinking about at the time. And he looks over and he sees this bush on fire, but the bush is not consumed. It was God's attention getter for Moses, is what it was. And as Moses stepped aside and took the time to look at it and come close, God said, Wait a minute, Moses, take off your shoes. You're in my presence. You're standing on holy ground. You see, God wants our reverence. God was teaching Moses that he needs to be approached with reverence. And so we have one lesson. Moses removed his shoes. He covered his face, it says. Taking off his shoes was an act of reverence, conveying his own unworthiness before God. So God desires, and he commands. He more than desires, he commands as we approach him, as we come to worship him, he demands of us to show reverence to himself and to the things that are God. It's not just God, but it's to, and we'll see some, we'll look at some of those things tonight. To approach him in a casual way shows a lack of respect and sincerity, and we must understand that. So when we think about the time we're living in, we look around us and we see a lot of disobedience, we see a lot of disrespect, we see very little reverence for God in our society. Is that a surprise to us? No, it's not. Paul told Timothy that is how it was going to be in the last days. Disrespect and disobedience is going to prevail, and it's going to be more and more in the last days. And I believe tonight that we are living in those days. And so we can expect this as we look at society around us. And we see the results of it. And it behooves us that we foster growth in our families and in our children. Secondly, you don't have to turn to this, but Leviticus 19 and verse 30 says, "Ye shall keep my Sabbath and reverence my sanctuary." Why? "I am the Lord," he says. Simply the fact that he is sovereign God requires that we reverence whenever we come into his presence, like we are here this evening in the house of God, people of God are gathered in. We must reverence God tonight in his sanctuary. And I'll talk about that a little bit more later. Let's look at a few more verses. Psalm 89, you may turn there in your Bibles if you would. Psalm 89 and verse 7. It says, "God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him." So when we're in the presence of God, which we believe we are at all times, God is never far from any one of us. We are in his presence. We need to reverence him and respect him and have that in our instilled in our minds. A few pages back in your Bible, Psalm 111 and verse 9 talks about reverence as well. 111 and verse 9. "He sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverent is his name." The name of God is reverend. And so we learn there as well that we should approach him with reverence. One more scripture in relation to this, and that is in the New Testament. You may turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Now I'd like for you to notice verse 28 and 29. Verse 28 says, "Wherefore we, receiving a kingdom that cannot be moved, let us have grace wherein we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear." Why? "For our God is a consuming fire." And so we enter into his presence by his grace, and we serve him in an acceptable, in a reverential way, with that spirit of awe, gratitude for God, because God demands that of us. And our God is a consuming fire. So this is why we foster growth in our children's lives, so that they can learn to do well and be accepted of him. It's why we consider a subject like this tonight. I don't come here believing tonight that you're not working at it, that you as a congregation are not fostering reverence in your children's lives. I believe it is here. It's evident it's here. Just the fact that our children are here among us tonight and they're sitting here attentive and listening and observing and tells me that there's homework being done. So I like to look, secondly, tonight at how reverence is fostered. Cultivated is the word we've been using in the title. How do we cultivate reverence? Well, my first point is this. I have about 7 or 8 points I'd like to look at tonight, and they are not all inclusive, but I picked some things out that I think are very, they are important. They're fundamentals, I'm going to call them. Turn with me in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 6, I believe it is. Moses was writing to the children of Israel here and giving them some of God's message, it was. And he says this in chapter 6 of Deuteronomy, verse 4. He says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I have commanded thee this day shall be in thine heart." Why? "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them, and thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine head, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates." And we're going to cease there. He goes on and talks about some other things. But my first point is tonight is this, that it must be in our hearts. Parents tonight, to be able to cultivate, to foster respect, to foster reverence in our children's lives, it needs to be, first of all, it needs to be in our heart. We must have it there. We cannot teach our children something tonight that is not in our hearts. Our children tonight, we are very transparent as parents. They can see right through us, and they can see when we're inconsistent and when we try to teach them something that we really don't believe in ourselves or think ourselves. And so tonight, if you forget all the other points that I'm going to share with you tonight, I want you to remember this, that if you don't have it, first of all, in your own heart, you're not going to pass it on to them. It must be in our heart. You see, this subject tonight, I believe there's a lot of teaching that we can do, but I believe it truly is a subject where there is really more caught than taught. Sometimes we say that there is more caught than taught. We can have good teaching programs. We can be very, very, consistent in teaching and so on. But our children see through our own lives, the choices we make. Children will notice when reverence is a part of our way of life. They will notice how we speak about our Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ and how much we appreciate our salvation. They will notice how we treat others. They will notice how we live life, how we live the gospel out, the decisions that we make, speak about where our hearts are and what we really do believe. They will notice if we're happy and grateful or if it's otherwise. They observe how we value Scripture and live the gospel, like I said. Those things are observed and seen. And if it's not in our own hearts, if it's not really there and it doesn't mean what we're trying to portray to them that it means, they will pick it up and they will make their own evaluation. You know, there's times when these young folks that are among us will sit down and they will ponder life for themselves. They all have to decide, our children have to decide for themselves what they will do with life, where they will go. Where am I going to be in the future? How am I going to serve God? Am I going to serve God? Am I not going to serve God? Is it worth serving God? Isn't it worth serving God? They will ponder those times. There will be those times in life that they will sit by themselves somewhere and they'll be pondering those things. And if they observe fathers and mothers who have it in their heart and are truly living it out, they will believe it. It doesn't mean that they will always pick it up and follow it, but I do believe that it will go with them. It will make an impression. If it's otherwise, it will make an impression as well, and it will work the opposite probably in their lives. They might, as they contemplate things, say, well, you know what, my parents are so inconsistent in these things that it will actually make them decide that it's not worth it. Can do that. That can happen. It doesn't. always, often, but it does happen sometimes. Well, number two, I believe tonight that, so number one is, and remember that, like I said, as we go through the rest of this message, remember that it is important that we have it in our own hearts. Number two, reverence, I believe, the fostering of reverence, fostering of respect, it begins in our homes. It begins in our relationships at home. Good home relationships. I believe it begins, it is taught in homes where there is a father who is taking the responsibility of being a leader, who is actually a protector of his home, and is watching and observing and guiding his family in the right way. I believe tonight that it begins in homes where fathers have, and I'd like to encourage our fathers tonight to be fathers that lead, fathers that take their place, fathers that are consistent, fathers that protect, fathers that love. May I say tonight that we need fathers with a backbone of, a backbone of steel and a hand of velvet, as it were. You get the point? A father that has the backbone to say, as for me and my house, this is the way. This is the decisions that we make. This is how we're going to do things in my house. And he should have good reasons why he's doing that. And a father that doesn't move, he's convinced and he believes that this is the right way because this is what the Bible teaches. This is what God's Word teaches us. But then he should also be a father that has a loving side to him. A father that, like I said, he has a hand of velvet. He doesn't give, but he's a father that loves his children, and his children know that he loves his children. I also believe that it begins in homes where mother is busy with her part, is submissive, and we'll look at some of that a little bit later. But where the father is leading out, I believe it gives a home where mother has the opportunity then to be busy with the provisions of the home and not so much the decisions, which is the father's responsibility. A home where children are loved and not just endured. We have a world today, when we consider the world, and it's not just in the world, sad to say, but there are places where children are just endured and they really don't feel loved. And so tonight, good home relationships, I believe, are important. And I believe that here is where this teaching, this fostering starts and needs to start and must happen. Relationships, they're important. And they start when children are young. And they take time. You see, it's in our home, and it's with fathers that I believe the concept of God is born in our children's minds. As they relate to a father who has a backbone and who is a leader and who is a protector and a father who loves them and cares about them, and they feel that, they are then forming their concept of God is what is happening. We don't think about it in that way so often, but that is what takes place. Exodus 20 and verse 12 says, "Honor thy father and thy mother." Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1 tells children to obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And so tonight, as children, you have a responsibility to listen to your parents. And if you have a desire within you to grow in your reverence to God, this is how it happens. As you listen and you become obedient to your parents and you respect them and you do the things they want you to do. And to the parents, obedience must be taught. Respect must be taught. Number three, I believe that We talked about good home relationships, but I'd like to talk a little bit more about that. I'd like to get a little more specific, and I'd like to think about marriage relationships, because I think good marriage relationships teach our children reverence. As they observe father and mother and the relationship in the marriage and in the home, and they see how, well, they observe where it's evident that parents love each other and have a respect for each other and their individual roles, like I just talked about it. Children observe and learn so much just by watching their parents' courtesy to each other, their parents' attitudes, like I was saying, their parents' working relationship. They observe if father and mother really truly love each other, and if their hearts beat together in raising the family. Children can soon pick out if one or the other is not supporting the other one, and it makes a conflict in their own heart. They question what is happening, what is going on. And so our marriage relationships are very, very important. I believe, again, they observe more than what we realize. And I just like to tonight to be practical. Our children, I think, I can say that our children do truly love their parents. They care about their parents. And I believe that when there is conflict in the marriage, conflict in the home, I believe that they observe that, and it actually makes an unsettledness in their own heart that they really don't know how to deal with at times, and raises a lot of questions. And so father and mother, I believe, should, especially in front of the children, not make their decisions sometimes, maybe get off and have their quiet discussions and decide how home life is going to be done, and not let the children observe some of that because of the turmoil that it can put in children's lives. Tonight, our children are a product of our homes. And I believe that if respect is taught, respect is born in our homes, I believe that it goes with our children everywhere. Others observe that. It comes along to church. It goes along to school. It goes along to the friend's house. The friend's parents can observe what we have taught our children and the respect that they have and the reverence that they have. It goes along to town. It goes along to the grocery store. The community can observe it. They notice it. They see it. We can't deny it. We can't hide it. It's there. It's obvious. And praise God when the community can notice that there are good homes where these things, these principles are being taught. And so good home relationships and good marriage relationships are very important. Number four, young families that are raising children should build and maintain an obedient, we already talked about obedient, secure, and respectful home life. And what I like to think about here as I think about this is so we get into the teaching day by day. And it begins in small things. It begins in teaching our children to be polite, to say please and thank you and excuse me, to shake hands with their elders, with others. Yes, in a proper way, in a right way, not just a flimsy handshake. In fact, we should teach our children the respect of shaking hands and looking people in the eyes as they do that. We have this habit in our congregation at home as ministry. We have quite a few children, and I like to see them line up. We meet them at the back of the church, and I like to see these children line up, and they know that they're expected to shake the minister's hands. And one of our ministry team has taught the children that when you shake our hands, you must look at me. And he will say, if they don't look up and don't look at him, he will say, well, where are your eyes? You have eyes. Where are your eyes? And of course, the first thing that happens is that child's eyes come up. And you know what? He's done that for a few years already, and he's taught our children at church to shake a good handshake with the ministry and to look us in the eyes. And I think it's just a simple thing, but I think we should be doing that in our home. They should be taught to wait in turn, stand in line like ladies and gentlemen. They should be taught not to be boisterous and bossy. There's just a whole lot of little things that I believe are the beginning of teaching these things. In order to learn how to sit quietly without loads of toys and baggage and constant entertainment, especially in church services, I think it all begins at home. It begins with those practice sessions at home. It probably begins with practice sessions on mom's lap, but also on dad's lap. It's not just, yes, when they're little and they're tiny and they're, but I think dads need to be involved in all of this as well. These lessons take place during our maybe times like family worship and prayer around the table as we gather in. We teach them to put their hands, and I know a lot of families maybe hold hands, and I'm not opposed to that, but I, in the home where I grew up at, my father taught us children that we're supposed to sit on our chairs at mealtime and put our hands on our laps and bow our heads. It's a part of reverence to God. And he was very strict about that. Prayer at meals, when parents sit and read to their little ones. When the family sits and visits together, we teach our children reverence and respect for each other. Little Johnny must be taught that the world doesn't revolve around him, and that others are just as important as he is. Little Johnny must be taught that he shouldn't be hurt all the time and have respect for other siblings in the family. Letting others talk without interruptions. You see, these seem like just little things, but I believe it's where it begins with our families. Those who learn respect and responsibility as children usually mature to respectful young people who have respect for other young people, who have respect for the things of God. As we teach respect, I believe we're instilling reverence towards others, reverence towards authority, reverence towards God. Number five, I believe that we instill reverence for God by making the things of God a priority in our lives, in our plans. In the home where I grew up at, thinking about worship services and thinking about Sunday coming along and knowing that Sunday was a day that we went, there was no question in that if we were going to go to church or not. I remember having snowstorms that I thought, well, there's a good possibility that we probably won't go to church today because it snowed a significant amount. And Brother Luke preached at Blue Ridge this morning, and this brought it to my mind because he had the same experience with his father, he said. But I remember back in those days, we would put tire chains on the tires of our cars. And my father would say, we're going to go to church. We can get there. It doesn't matter if the snow is deep. We would get the tire chains out and put them on our car. And off to church we would go, and these tire chains made noise. And if they weren't tight enough, they would actually bang up against the fender of the vehicle a little bit. And so we could be going down the road, boom, boom, bang, 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 and the chains were humming. And this little fellow, I was embarrassed. I mean, the snow is fairly deep. Couldn't we just stay at home? No, that was not an option. It's a day of worship. We're going to church, and we went to church. And I remember going to church at times, several times in my life that I can remember going to church, and there weren't that many people at church. We were maybe one of the few families that actually went out on the road and made it there. But you see, it was a priority of my father's. It was important to him, and he stuck to it. My father was a man of few words. He didn't tell us all that many things sometimes, but he taught us a lot, and we caught. And I, to this day, we, you know, it's, I think we should. We ought to be in God's house when it's time to worship, and if we at all means can. The other thing that stands out to me from growing up was our Saturdays were often spent in preparation for Sunday, for the worship day. We lived on a farm, and we would get feet in place and do things for the preparation for Sunday so that we didn't have to work more on Sunday than what was necessary to take care of the animals. You know, it taught us some things. It stuck with us. We remembered those things. Saturday night was a night to get to bed early. We weren't allowed to be up and out and around late on Saturday night. Saturday night was a night to wind down, and it was a night to get to bed so that you could wake up and you were refreshed and you were ready to go to God's house and worship. We were at church on time as well. If my father wasn't at church 5 or 10 minutes early, he was late already in his mind. And so we got to church early, and I remember the day when my grand, and apparently that was something that was passed down from the generation before already, because I remember the day when my elderly grandpa, when we took him along to church in his 80s, and he needed to be at church a half hour before church started, or he was having a real hissy fit sometimes. And I remember being about 10, 11, 12 years old, and we would leave for church way early, and we would get there, and we were the only car in the parking lot, and Grandpa would go in and sit in his pew, and the rest of us, we sat in the car, and we waited a while. And I used to think, really, must we do this? But yes, it taught us some things. It taught us respect for worship services. It taught us respect for the Sabbath. It taught us respect to enter into the presence of God in a worshipful way is what it does. There was a lot of things that were caught that weren't really spoken about. I believe another thing is, and I'm going to talk about this a little bit this evening, I believe as we think about worship services and we think about coming into the presence of God, I think we should dress for the occasion. God deserves our best. God wants our best. And as we come into his presence, we should be dressed in a decent, modest way that shows that we are here in reverence to worship God and meet God. And so I just hold that out for you tonight. I really believe that we should dress and make sure our children are dressed. Sometimes I cringe a little bit in our congregation when I see young men getting up front to lead singing or having devotions. And they almost look like they're stuffed into their pants anymore, like you would have just held the pants there and filled it with the concrete mixer and wherever it bulged. I'm exaggerating a little bit, but we see that today. Dear friends, it shouldn't be. It's not modest. It's not decent to enter into worship services like that. And I plead with you parents tonight. I'm concerned we put so much modesty, so much emphasis on the modesty of our sisters. I hear so much of that. But when it comes to this side of the house, we're pretty quiet about it sometimes. I think as fathers, we have a responsibility. I believe that our cell phones, and I'm probably going to step in some toes here, but I'm going to tell you what I believe. I believe our cell phones in worship services ought to be outside in our vehicle. It's okay to take a cell phone with you in case you need it. But to have cell phones in the church service, And I know there's people that are so, they just cannot get away, and even businessmen. This is for all of us. There's something wrong, I believe, if we cannot come for a several-hour worship service without a cell phone in our presence, to have it there. Too many times they get forgotten about. I was at a funeral here a little while back, and we were sitting in there waiting for the funeral to start, and the funeral, for whatever reason, didn't start for about 10 minutes after the time it was supposed to start, maybe 15 minutes. It was quite a while. But there was a whole church full of people sitting there waiting on this. And I think it was three different times that cell phones rang. And the one time, the one individual actually had the nerve to answer the phone and start a conversation right there in the funeral as we were waiting quietly in the presence of God at a funeral where, of all places, there should have been a lot of reverence. And he wasn't just a young man. He was an older man. He looked like a businessman to me. I don't want to judge a man, but it just reminded me of somebody that needed to be attached to his business. I just throw it out for what it's worth. I think we're teaching our children things by doing this. If we as older businessmen cannot get away from our phones and that type of thing, how do we expect the next generation to get the idea that God's house is a place for reverence? May I take this a little further? I'm talking pretty plain, but I'd like to say a few more things about our worship services. I observe in our congregation, and we have a large congregation and a lot of young people, and I know children are all different. But I really believe that the bathroom trips during church services should not be nearly as much as they are. I'll just say it that way. I think we can teach our children that if the bathroom is used prior to getting to church, and it's used when Sunday school is over, we have that little window in there that they have the opportunity to do that. They come in and they sit in their pews. Surely they can sit another hour and a half throughout a worship service or 2 hours without running back and forth and making bathroom trips. My family, my children would say they know that I was very hard on them for that. We had very few bathroom trips, and they proved to me that their bladders were bigger than they thought they were at times. So I'll just put that out there for what it's worth. How about the activities after the church service? Parents, are you watching? Are you observing? Do you know what's happening? Is there a lot of carrying on going? I believe that even the after service, we are in the presence of God, and we're trying to teach our children reverence for God. These are opportunities to do that. And I believe after church, the running and the carrying on and the things that we see sometimes we as ministry standing in the back of the church, I shake my head and I say, where are the fathers? What's happening? Where's Dad? The other Sunday I was standing there and one of the fathers came back and there was some carrying on going on. It had just got my attention and I was starting to think, where are these fathers? About like that, one of the fathers stepped up and he just looked through the crack of the door. The door was open. He looked through the crack of the door and he caught the eye of his son. And it immediately quit. His son just melted and was finished. And the others just kept right at it because those fathers, I finally turned around to look, they were up here enjoying themselves. And the children were off doing their own thing. I think we should respect each other, and I think a part of respecting God's house and worship services is to know what our children are doing. I just challenge you with the children activities after church. As parents, I think we ought to be talking with respect about church, upholding the church standards. I know sometimes that we get frustrated with church life and some of the happenings in church, and that it happens. And as I look back, I've been guilty sometimes of talking and hashing things in church life that I, as I look and I think about it now, I probably shouldn't have. In fact, I just recently I heard of some youth that, well, it was a family of youth that lost out. And the young people have no respect for the parents' wishes in church life and so on. And I just said to somebody, I said, you know, I observe that situation, and sometimes I really wonder what actually happened. What went wrong? And an individual that had a little bit of insight said, you know what happened there? He said the father was so frustrated with church life so often, and he went home and he just blew it off to his family. And he said those children just despised it. I put it out there for what it's worth, fathers. Be careful. You can turn your families away by doing things like that. Talk respectfully about church life, about church standards. Uphold church standards. We can't teach our children to uphold church standards when we have our areas where we're not quite in harmony with and where we're not going to uphold. They observe, they see that. Number 6, a reverent person lives in humble and grateful awareness of God's presence and power, trusting him through even the difficult things of life. That's kind of a long sentence, but I believe that a person who acknowledges a sovereign God in his life, even when life is difficult and when life throws things that are not fun to experience, that are difficult to experience, those are opportunities for us to teach our children that we trust in a sovereign God. We have faith in God. We believe in God. We are going to trust God that he's going to bring the best out of life for us, even though at the present time, the difficult situations that we find ourselves in or are going through are not fun to experience. It teaches our children that we trust God, that we actually believe in a sovereign power, and in the presence and with grateful awareness, we say, God is good. God is good. You see, it speaks volumes. I have observed people going through difficult times already, and I just wondered how they could have such a good spirit about life when it seems to be so difficult for them. You felt like you should go and try to encourage them, and maybe sometimes you tried to do that and you came away being the one that was encouraged because of the inspiration that they had. They just trusted God. They had the presence of God. They had the power of God. And it was evident. It's catching. Others catch on to it. And so I say again, a reverent person lives a humble and grateful awareness of God's presence and power. Let's be people that do that, because it goes a long way in teaching our children reverence, I believe. Number 7, teaching our children about the realities of life and death instill a reverence for God. We must talk about the things that matter about life and about death, and not shun and try to cover it up and do away with it like our society and the world around us is doing. Life is sacred. Life comes from God, and our children need to be taught that. And I believe that teaching our children that begins again in just having respect for life in general. The animals that they have, the cat and the dog that they have, they take care of it, they feed it. They need to be taught that when I get upset with it, Johnny doesn't just go and boot the dog. It's not how we treat animals. You see, it's in those little areas again where they learn the bigger things of life. It begins there. Fathers, we need to be careful that we do the same thing. I heard of a father some time ago who got very upset at the dog, and he gave the dog a good kick and put the dog out of commission. And the children wondered what happened to the dog, and he had to go tell them what he'd done. And he felt bad about it. The father acknowledged it. He said, I had to repent to my children. I had to tell my children, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done that. Father lost it. He got angry, and I done something I shouldn't have. He owed up to it, and I believe he made it well with the family. But those are little things. But so human life is sacred, and we need to teach our children that it's sacred. We don't just take life. We don't just abuse life. Life and death are in the hands of God. They need to be taught that. I believe we instill a reverence for it when we take our families to funerals as you have the opportunity. Let them see death. I grew up in a home, and I don't know, I was the youngest in the family. My father was older, and I guess he just knew a lot more people that were dying. But I, as a little boy, I grew up, I thought we're going to viewings and funerals all the time. There's people I didn't know, but my parents knew it, and I went along. They didn't just take off and go and let us at home. We went along, and they made sure that we walked past that casket and held us up if we couldn't see you, and made sure we saw and acknowledged that this is death. This is real. There are realities. Death is to be respected. They instilled that in us by doing that. I believe that we do well to do that. You know, our society, our world around us today is covering this thing of death up, doing away with funerals, doing away with burying, cremation is taking over, and a lot of it is just to do away with the reality of it, not phase up to the realities. We have, what do they call them? Celebration of life. That's what I'm thinking. Instead of funerals, we make a party out of it, and it's to do away. Let's not go there. Let's teach our children about life and death, and instill a reverence for God. I'd like to read a verse from Ecclesiastes 7:2 talks about, I thought I had the, verse in my tongue, and I don't right now. It says, it's better to go to the house of mourning than to the house of feasting. And then it says this, for that is the end of all men. We need to acknowledge that. And the living will lay it to heart. We need to lay it to heart and instill it in the lives of our children. Well, these are just a few things tonight that I thought about. There is many, many more. In conclusion, I would like to say this. I go back to the beginning. Dear friends tonight, keep in mind that you are not alone. As parents tonight, you are not alone in this process of teaching reverence to your children, trying to instill this. Your responsibility is tonight is to foster that. But God Himself is working in each heart, each child. You see, we are created in the image of God. And God is drawing. God wants relationships. God wants the hearts of our children, and He will do His part in drawing them in ways, just like He did with Moses in that burning bush. He will get their attention, and He will draw them, and will instill respect in ways that you and I cannot through the experiences of life. I believe that's what happened to Moses at the burning bush. I believe that experience in Moses' life left an impression on him that Moses never forgot the rest of his life. And God will do that to our children today. So take courage. Do the little bit you can. The much that we can. It's not just a little bit. But do what we can. to help our children foster the growth of reverence in their lives. God bless you. Let's kneel for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much again for your love to us today, for blessing us in this day, for the worship experiences that we've had this morning and again this evening. We thank you, Father, that we have the privilege of gathering in with your people, people who have a love for you, a people who have respect for you, and a people who want to reverence you. Father, I just pray tonight that you would help us somehow in our frailty and in our weakness and in our humanity to be able to help our children see you for who you are and to grow in their love and appreciation to the place where they trust you and they have an awe for the things that you are doing in their lives and their hearts. Father, we just pray that you would help us to do that and that you would draw our families. Help us to be a help to each other. Father, it takes more than what we have. And so we thank you for each family and each father and each home that makes a contribution to our churches and to our families that helps us achieve this end. And we thank you most of all for your love and your drawing us to you, for your faithfulness. Help us to be just as faithful. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.